makeup, getting done and all that, right?
It would be amazing. I mean, I think that just from the point of view of us, of human beings being explorers, you always want to find out what happens next, what's over that next hill, and creating a baby in space would be quite a first step.
I wonder if they've done it yet. Do you know and can't say, or do you not?
I am not aware of it having been done yet, and I there's not a lot of privacy up there. Let's face it; it would be a public performance, I'm afraid.
Well, I mean, there are sleep cycles for the crew, right?
That's right. But we can speculate about this all we want. I have a feeling it hasn't happened because basically they're probably just too tired and too overworked up there. And if you've ever been around a woman who's tired, you know she's not interested.
I know. All right. But let me shift direction a little bit. Right now I'm reading stories about scientists who are out resurrecting the 1918 flu that killed, I forget how many million, millions, tens of millions. Really a bad mama of a flu, and they're resurrecting this thing ostensibly, I guess, so that they can figure out how to combat it should it come alive again. But how worrisome should it be that they're resurrecting this? I mean, on the one hand, we don't have a problem with it right now, and I don't want one.
Well, I think that they're trying to find probably a vaccine for it.
No doubt.
And you know, when you look at total numbers killed, the flu is actually a far more lethal enemy of Americans than any foreign country could ever be. I mean, it killed way more people. The flu in itself is it's been devastating. I mean, how many millions of people died during that particular epidemic? I remember seeing the charts of where people died, and it followed the railroad lines.
Really?
Yes, it did. The further you were away from the railroad lines, the safer you were. So it was just following the railroad tracks. It was following the transportation lines.
Great. So then you project ahead to today's world where it could follow the routes of all the airlines.
Exactly. And you know, you can get from one part of the world to another within 24 hours. You can see how fast a lethal virus can travel. That's why I think the people are concerned about smallpox, although that doesn't seem to be in enemy hands. If that was to get loose and we have a whole population that is not vaccinated, it could be pretty devastating.
How long is a smallpox vaccination good for?
That's not entirely clear. Now, at my age, I got smallpox vaccination when I was a child.
So did I. That's why I'm asking.
Right. Is it lifelong? We don't know. Probably not.
Mm-hmm.
So there may be some partial protection, but I suspect that even though you and I were probably vaccinated when we were children, it doesn't mean we won't get it.
Great. I was depending on that.
Yes.
And I don't know why I'm worried about smallpox. It's just that they have talked so much about smallpox that it's almost enough to make you think they know.
Recording in progress.
Well, this is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal, right here on Revolution Radio. This fifth day of April, 2024, I have a special guest, Danny Siris, with me today. We're going to spend a fair amount of time reviewing a new documentary called The Fall of Minneapolis about the George Floyd event, and Danny has an extensive background in law enforcement is a perfect position to critique it. I want to begin, however, with some stories that are of international significance. Vladimir Putin has issued a devastating warning to NATO. Let's hear what Vlad has to say.
Embarrassing toenail.
Of course, we get all the commercials anymore.
This is about to blow up into a full-blown war. In fact, it's already happening. And no one but a few journalists are actually covering this bombshell story. I'm surprised the mainstream media is totally ignoring this story. The rest of the media is distracted by P. Diddy's homes being raided.
And we are learning more about the sex trafficking raids on mansions belonging to Sean Diddy Combs.
Something, though, much bigger happened this week in the Red Sea that almost got no attention at all. Russia and NATO are going to war. In fact, it's already underway, and it's not happening in Ukraine specifically. So we'll get to that in a second. But first, at the precise moment a cyber attack was being carried out on a bridge in Baltimore, shutting down one of America's most important port cities, Russia announced that the United States and the UK were actively involved in the terror attack on a Moscow theater. Say what? Really? You mean to tell me the CIA funneled millions of dollars in cryptocurrency into Ukraine to fund this operation? Get out of here. Really? You mean the same CIA that assassinated President Kennedy and had Richard Nixon overthrown would do something this nefarious? I can't believe it for a second. Oh, wait, yes, I can. Yes, I do.
We spoke to someone who had access to these still hidden CIA documents. The person was deeply familiar with what they contain. We asked this person directly. Did the CIA have a hand in the murder of John F. Kennedy, an American president? And here's the reply we received verbatim. Quote, the answer is yes. This is someone with direct knowledge of the information that once again is being withheld from the American public. And the answer we received was unequivocal. Yes, the CIA was involved in the assassination of the president.
Colonel McGregor, former Pentagon advisor to the Secretary of Defense, told me this week that the CIA was 100% behind the attack in Moscow. CIA and MI6 are actively involved in this terror plot inside of Moscow. What is the goal for the intelligence community in Washington, do you think?
Well, the CIA has been a rogue organization for a long time. Some people say it went rogue in the 60s. The Russian people are infuriated. They're angry. They want blood. The emotions in Russia are running very, very high.
So Russian investigators said Thursday, quote, investigators have verified information that large amounts of money in cryptocurrency that the perpetrators of the terrorist attack received traced back to Ukraine. The funds were used in preparing the crime. This was done with the help of the United States and the UK. So the US and the UK helped carry out a massive terror attack in Moscow that killed 140 people. And almost simultaneously, a massive cargo ship carrying hundreds of thousands of pounds of hazardous chemicals slams into a Baltimore bridge, closing down the port for months, if not years, to come. Some estimates have 5 years. And we learned yesterday that the Pentagon has a number of important fast response ships that are now stuck in the harbor. They can't move. And we need these in case of wars. I'd love a good coincidence. The NTSB confirmed that they recovered the black box, and 2 minutes of vital information was missing.
At 0124 and 59 seconds, numerous audible alarms were recorded on the ship's audio, bridge audio. About the same time, VDR sensor data ceased recording.
Yeah, only the 2 minutes that we need. Gone. Never recorded. Journalist Laura Logan says her sources in the Biden intel agencies have confirmed this was a cyber terror attack.
Why are you coming to the mic telling the country that it's not terrorism when your own intelligence agencies are telling you it is? And I know they are, because I didn't make this up. These are not my words, right? I'm talking to people who are on the inside, some who are on active duty, some who are retired, and everyone, literally, from critical infrastructure in Department of Homeland Security to the intelligence agencies, they know there's no other, this is a cyber attack on a critical infrastructure corridor for the United States.
Yes, all of this is happening right now. But of course, the mainstream media is ignoring it. The Today Show is running segments about spring cleaning your house.
We're back 8:13 with today's spring cleanup.
Yes, shit is hitting the fan and they can't hide it anymore. We are at war, and nowhere is that more apparent, of course, than the Red Sea between Russia and France. Russia threatening France that if you send troops to Ukraine, as you're planning to do, this will bring death and destruction to France. Their words, not mine. So this week, Russia sent a number of massive warships into the Red Sea for the first time. This was in direct response to France. If you want to watch, by the way, how a desperate, failing country drags the rest of us into World War III, look no further than France. President Macron, over the past few weeks, has grown desperate to save France, threatening Russia. Why is he doing this? What's going on here? Well, let's look at Africa and a story that no one is covering. France once owned Africa for generations. France controlled and exploited the vast natural resources of African countries. France is only able to exist as a modern superpower if they're able to plunder uranium, lithium, gold, silver, tin, and all sorts of precious minerals from Africa.
Let me just say, this guy is really, really good. And, of course, I jumped the gun. It's the 3rd of April, not the 5th. I must be looking forward to future events. Danny, would you like to comment on those initial reports? He was covering a fair broad span of issues.
Well, sir, how are you doing today? It's good to be with you. It's always good to see Redacted. I watch him from time to time. And I think it's a very interesting point that he made where he said, you know, we're watching the Today Show while we're going to war. It's quite scary that that's going on. It shows you the control of the mainstream media not covering big news like that. I mean, the fact that they're pointing out that the U.S. had something to do with that attack in Russia, and that's not all over the news on every channel, you know, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Like a false flag shooting shows you the control of the mainstream media. I mean, that is a huge story that everybody in the United States needs to know about, sir.
And here's another. We got Colonel McGregor, whom I greatly admire and esteem, warns an attack on Iran would cause World War III and mass migration. Now, remember, Israeli just had an attack on the consulate adjacent to the embassy. In Syria, the Iranian embassy in Syria has been attacked by Israel. And because the embassy is on ground that belongs to Iran, as are the embassies around the world, the land belongs to the nations they represent. This was an attack on Iran. Let's listen to McGregor.
I'm not going to be here if you don't support us. Infowarsstore.com. Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula, the purest iodine, the missing link, X3, 40% off, Turbo Force, 10-hour clean energy.
We have been brainwashed into believing that Iran is the source of all evil and problems in the Middle East and, for that matter, everywhere else, which I think is a gross oversimplification. But rather than try to explain the last 30 or 40 years of experience with the Iranians, what I would tell people is that if we were to go to war with Iran, and we were to attack it in a total war sense, everything short of nuclear weapons, we could do enormous damage to the place in terms of infrastructure. We could probably ultimately destroy most of its military power. We could destroy it economically.
Great.
Now, that assumes that no one else becomes involved, that the Russians do not come in to help the Iranians.
Yeah,
and frankly, the Chinese, who are very dependent on the oil and gas that comes out of the Persian Gulf, do not also become involved. But if you were to do what I just described, then you would probably propel millions into a migration towards Europe. Because where else can they go? There's no reason to stay where they are, because the destruction of the infrastructure, which would include the water system and power grid and so forth, would leave them with no ability to maintain themselves, to sustain themselves. That creates an enormous weakness strategically in the region. It also would propel the Turks into a position of prominence in the region, because the only power capable of balancing Iran is Turkey. And the Turks are Sunni Muslims, the Iranians are Shiite. Now, neither of them want to go to war with each other, but if we were to destroy Iran, then Turkey would be elevated to a position of extraordinary predominance and power. And I'm not sure that that's necessarily in anybody's interest, certainly not in ours, and clearly not necessarily in Israel's interest either.
Well, I'm a big fan of Colonel McGregor. I think he's as good as we have in terms of analyzing these events. I also like Scott Ritter and, of course, my dear colleague, Scott Bennett. Danny, your thoughts?
Well, I listen to McGregor all the time, and you know he's a very wise man, and he knows what's going on. He knows what's going on all over the world, for that matter. And I think we ought to listen to him. You know, of course, I don't have any say, and you don't have any say. We just can talk about it. But you know, I'm just amazed at what's going on. And again, I'm going to say it: the lack of the mainstream media calling out or calling any of this stuff out. I mean, we're really close to fighting breaking out, you know, and the fact that the media is not covering this and they're sweeping all this information under the rug and staying quiet, is just beyond me. It just shows, again, the control that they have and how they're just flat out lying to the general public, sir.
Very, very good. I have five stories now I want to share. I've been indicating how Biden's approval rating had to be in the single digits. Here's confirmation. Biden's 8% approval means panic and war, Martin Armstrong. Meanwhile, Babylon Bee, Biden condemns Jesus for rising again on Trans Day of Visibility. Third, RFK Jr. lays out argument that Biden's a bigger threat to democracy than Trump. RFK Jr. says he will pardon whistleblower Edward Snowden if elected president. And fifth, Tulsi Gabbard says she turned down an offer to be RFK Jr.'s VP, which his campaign has confirmed. Let me begin with the first, from the second smartest guy in the world. Legendary financial and geopolitical psychoanalyst Martin Armstrong has new data on President Biden's approval rating. Nearly 2 years ago, his real job rating in America was just 12%. More than 1 year ago, the real Biden approval number dropped to 9.5 and stayed there, according to Armstrong's world-renowned Socrates predictive computer program. Now, Biden's rating has tumbled again. Armstrong says it's basically hovering around 7.5 to 8% at this stage. I know that goes against the mainstream media, but if you look at Google, it is really politically motivated, meaning the exaggeration of his standing. The other number you need to look at is confidence in government. It's at 28%. This number is unheard of since World War II. I have another confidential data miner source that backs up Armstrong's numbers, right, the author, including the latest 8% job approval number, with nearly identical Biden job approval numbers going back 2 years. So, yes, there are two solid sources for Biden's true approval number. You will never see Biden's real numbers on the lying legacy media, but everybody at the top of the D.C. swamp knows how weak Biden really is. What does this record low Biden approval rating mean? Armstrong explains. What you have to be concerned about is our computer is showing a massive panic cycle in September. This is very curious because the Democrat convention is August 19th. At that convention, they can just draft somebody. That has been the rumor for quite some time. They know Biden is really quite pathetic. The neocons like him because they can do whatever they want. The climate change people are doing the same thing. The president is supposed to act as a referee in the cabinet, and he's not even there 40% of the time. The collapse in government is because all these agencies are just doing the wrong thing, and nobody is standing in between. You got State Department threatening World War III. The problem is the government will fail when you can't sell the new debt to pay off the old. That's when a default comes. That's how a default takes place. You have these neocons in the State Department constantly trying to create World War III. Why would you buy a 10-year bond in the face of war? Interest rates always go up in wartime. We don't have a president running as referee between all these agencies. Armstrong says everything is pointing toward war. Danny.
Well, sir, I don't know what to say. It's hard for me to talk about all the blunders that our current administration is making. It just never ends what's going on. I mean, you know, I don't even know where to start. It's just devastating what's happening. Again, the American people seem to be clueless of what's going on. And, you know, I get to talk about it on your show. You know, we're talking about, you know, a Biden regime that's in control. Okay. But we all know we got a guy with a mask. I mean, I just can't help but bring that up. For the first time ever since I've been alive, we have a guy, somebody, masquerading as a president of the United States with a mask that's been, you know, seen at multiple locations outside of Atlanta at the fake White House. And everybody just goes on like life's totally normal. That's the way it is. I, you know, I still can't get over we're living in la-la land here. And there's a lot of principles out there that never bring this up or don't want to bring it up, you know, except for you and just a very few others want to talk about this. I mean, and we're getting close to going to war here. I mean, we're in some serious trouble here, sir, in the United States, some very serious trouble. I'm very concerned. I don't think I've ever been this concerned since I've been alive, that's for sure.
And, of course, I love the Babylon Bee, where Biden condemns Jesus for rising again on Trans Day of Visibility. But this piece from RFK Jr. is, of course, vastly more substantial. And what's fascinating, Danny, this is on RSN, Reader Supported News. That's a left-wing website. RFK Jr. lays out argument that Biden's a bigger threat to democracy than Trump. On CNN, Kennedy, whom some believe could help Trump win in November, was also confronted with his old criticisms of spoiler candidate Ralph Nader before the 2000 election. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. wanted the public to know Monday, there's an argument to be made for President Joe Biden being a larger threat to democracy than Donald Trump, although, despite giving an impassioned answer about how Biden's administration has supposedly wronged him greatly, Kennedy still insists that he himself would never make that argument. In a lengthy CNN interview on Aaron Burnett out front, Kennedy was questioned about his equivocating stance on the subject. When people talk about the threat to democracy that Trump poses, do you think that is equal to Biden? Burnett asked. Listen, I can make the argument that President Biden is a much worse threat to democracy, and the reason for that is President Biden is the first president in history who's used a federal agency to censor political speech, so it censors his opponent. I can say that because I just won a case in federal court of appeals, now before the Supreme Court. That shows he started censoring not just me, but 37 hours after he took office, he was censoring me. Kennedy was apparently referring to a preliminary injunction he won in February in his lawsuit claiming the government improperly leaned on social media platform to censor his statements about vaccines. Kennedy's conspiratorial opinions, of course, but then this is a conspiracy, have in part caused many of his family members to oppose his candidacy. Kennedy then seemed to gloss over Trump's behavior after the 2020 election. The greatest threat to democracy is not somebody who questions election returns, but a president of the United States who will use the power of his office to force social media companies, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, to open a portal and give access to that portal to the FBI, CIA, the IRS, the NIH, to censor his political critics. Those are really critical threats to democracy. Danny, I think he's got it right. I think he's got it 100% right. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I totally agree. He does have it right. I mean, the censoring alone should really concern people. The fact that they're going into the social media sites and censoring the way they are and shutting down criticism or voices or, you know, any information that's coming out. It's just over the top what we're seeing, sir. And, you know, I agree with that 100%. There's no doubt about it. He's spot on right there.
You know, it's very interesting. And I applaud that he says he'll pardon Edward Snowden if he were elected president. I presume he would also pardon Julian Assange. That he went to Tulsi. I've been predicting for some time Trump was going to run with Tulsi. And now it turns out that RFK Jr. invited her to be his running mate, which she declined. And the only reason I can think of her declining is because she was already committed to Trump. Tulsi Gabbard once ran for president as a Democrat, a move that put her on the national map politically. Now she's since left her old party And there were reports that independent-minded Gabbard could join the most popular independent presidential candidate currently running, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Now Gabbard says the offer was extended, but she turned it down. Here we have a tweet. Tulsi Gabbard reportedly respectfully declined RFK Jr.'s VP offer. She added she would be open to being Trump VP pick and that her mission is to serve our country. Pretty damn interesting. Here's someone who has their doubts about Trump. It's a tweet and we're not hearing. I think that's pretty damn interesting. I've always liked Tulsi. I know some have felt she wasn't strong enough on gun control, and she's supposed to be a member of the WEF, but the WEF makes a vast number of politician members, and in my opinion, it's not meaningful unless you see them actually acting to promote the goals, the objectives of the WEF. Your thoughts, Danny?
Well, I'm a little mixed on her at this point, sir. Changing parties and, her stance on gun control has seemed to flip-flop a few times, and that really kind of bothers me. But the fact that she turned down, RFK's offer to be VP, she must think that Trump is going to pick her. That's the only thing I can think of, and we'll have to wait to see if that comes true. It's hard to say. I don't know yet.
Let me throw in one more article before we hit the break. Globalists claim mass immigration helps the U.S. economy. Here's proof that it doesn't, that it's a lie. You can find this on my blog at jameshfetzer.org by Brandon Smith. I've said many times in the past, it bears repeating, if you want to understand why world events happen the way they do, you must understand the goals and influence of globalist institutions. You must accept the fact that these people create most of the national and international disasters you and I have to deal with on a regular basis. Oftentimes, they create the disaster deliberately. Yes, I know there are plenty of skeptics who think all geopolitics and crisis events are random or a product of bureaucratic stupidity, but those people are wrong. They have no idea what they're talking about because they're basing their conclusion on assumptions rather than facts and research. Make no mistake. There's a good reason why it feels the whole world is gone crazy all at once.
Take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Revolution Radio, every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, on Studio B for Momentary Zen, with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, as advertised, Danny and I are going to look at this documentary, The Fall of Minneapolis. I'm going to play a bit of a clip of its opening about the alleged death of George Floyd. And then we're going to go through in considerable detail where Danny has a couple of dozen images extracted therefrom for us to focus upon. Before we go there, however, I just want to add regarding the mass immigration issue. The author contends, and I think he's exactly right, that the whole point of globalism is to destroy national boundaries in the mistaken belief that national sovereignty or independent nation wasn't a great idea. And you get a fellow named Strobe Talbot, who was an official in the Bill Clinton administration, making such a claim, which I frankly regard as a manifest absurdity. And that they want all the populations of all the nations of the world to be homogeneous, equally mixed. I think this is bizarre, but you can understand the motivation. When you have distinct languages, cultures, pride in a nation, they're going to be less amenable to being manipulated by external forces because they're going to be concerned with the well-being of their state. The tragedy of the United States today is we do not have a government that cares about the well-being of the United States. Danny, I just like your thoughts about these points, and I reiterate, everyone can find this article on my blog at jameshfetzer.org, and believe me, it's well worth reading. Danny, your thoughts.
Well, sir, you're spot on there when you say they have no regards for what we think or our well-being whatsoever. I mean, you know, there's a bunch of facets to that. They're destroying the current economy with what's going on, especially in the housing market. You know, the interest rates are so high. You know, people are already starting to head into foreclosure around the country. They're trying to sweep that under the rug. We have record amounts of debt and credit card debt. People are living on their credit cards. And credit card debt is at, I believe, is at an all-time high now. People are maxing out their credit cards. That's a very serious, serious issue. The student loan thing is still an issue. And they just really don't seem to have a concern at all of the American people when it comes to the economy or our security going to war with Russia or any other country, not warning anybody. Not having the media tell us anything that's going on unless people are tuning in to other sources. So I 100% agree, sir. They could care less about our well-being. And let's mention the migrants that they're allowing to flow into the country that's creating havoc all over the United States. It's terrible. And then one other point I'd like to bring up that I just thought about is Trump just put out a message, I think it was yesterday or the day before, where in many swing states, all of a sudden we're seeing a surge of people registering to vote without a photo. Now, what's up with that? Are they registering the migrants to vote as Democrats? And all of a sudden there's a surge in these swing states of these non-photo ID people, and they're registering to be Democrat. I think that would be a very, very serious concern to the American people.
Oh, Danny, of course that's happening. Of course that's happening. 100%. How grotesque is that? I mean, shocking. Shocking. But these Democrats are completely unscrupulous. They got full-bore communist, in my opinion. They are destroying America in every possible way. And the film we're going to be addressing today, this documentary on the fall of Minneapolis, in many ways was a triggering event, because what followed, of course, was a summer of love, calls to defund the police, and, of course, revolving toward justice, where criminals were being sent back out on the street without having to even post any bail. I mean, it's outrageous. And I believe it has been a very cleverly designed effort by George Soros, who has as his dream to see the destruction of America before he dies. Where Soros ought to have long since been arrested and tried as a traitor. And in my opinion, if there were any justice, a jury would find him guilty and he'd be sentenced to capital punishment. This man is doing more damage to the United States than any other single figure, with a possible exception of Bibi Netanyahu, who may be even now so much in control of our government that he could facilitate or initiate the launching of our nuclear ballistic missiles. I want everyone to ponder. We have no idea who this guy wearing a latex mask that makes him look a lot like, but actually, if you compare, precisely different than the real Joe Biden. It's a phony. It's a fake. He's a cadaver-like. It's outrageous. He's fumbling. He's incompetent. Danny, I've never been more embarrassed by the government of the United States. Your thoughts?
Well, sir, you nailed it. I mean, I already said it a little bit earlier. You know, we, for the first time since I've been alive, we've had some puppet regimes. But, I mean, now we have a guy in a mask. We've seen multiple failures of this mask at different locations at different times, where you can see the masks coming off. We have one incident where he's walking at the airport with an Uber driver, carrying his own bags, getting in his own vehicle with no Secret Service around. Nobody seems to think there's any kind of problem with that. He's walking around the sidewalk. There's, matter of fact, when he was putting his bags in the back of his SUV, with the Uber driver, there's a lady in a Toyota Camry pulling up, waiting for them to pull out of the way. And she's right there staring out at him. And she's just general traffic there in front of the airport. You know, we have some really strange things going on. And I think people are just yearning for normal life in the United States. And it's impossible with what's going on. I mean, it's just, when you think about it, sir, and I think about it often, what's going on? And the way they're keeping us in the dark on everything that's going on when it comes to the economy, when it comes to what's going on with Ukraine and Russia, they're laundering money for these wars. And then you mentioned the Netanyahu thing. You know, we covered the very start of that whole episode, was done with those fake videos, those propaganda videos, which we pulled apart and showed much of it to be fakery. And, you know, a lot of people just are ignoring what's going on over there in Israel. And the fact that Israel could have any control over our government, you just said, and our nuclear weapons. I mean, man, that's a nightmare from hell right there, just to even think about that, sir. It's a tough time to be an American today, I'll tell you that.
That's for sure, Danny. And, of course, now we're going back to this pivotal event in Minneapolis. I lived in Minnesota for 19 years. From 1987 to 2006, when I retired at the end of a 35-year career as a professor of philosophy and moved to Wisconsin near Madison, where I am today. This documentary seemed to me to be quite, quite good. But Danny, with his keen eye, has discerned innumerable flaws here. Now, mind you, long since, during my Volkswagen Conspiracy Conference 2020. I gave a presentation entitled Deception Galore, which if you go to my blog at jameshfetzer.org, click on events, you'll find you can access presentations that were given at the past four Volkswagen Conspiracy Conference. Go down to the bottom to 2020 and go to the archives and you can download where I explain that. Three of these hate crimes were all manufactured. Jussie Smollett, about as absurd as it gets. Bubba Wallace, which was ridiculous. I mean, should never have been an issue whatsoever. And then George Floyd. So what I want to do is go through all of this with you, Danny, and then we can review what I had to say before and see whether I got it right or wrong. The documentary begins with the event that was portrayed as police viciously killing a man by suffocating him. Check it out. And, of course, those listening will only be able to see the video when it's posted on my blog on BitChute.
Your screen seems to be stuck, sir. It has the old caption on it.
No, Danny, I'm looking at it. Do a refresh. You do a refresh. I'm seeing the police come by. There's a mural of George Floyd, Here is entitled, The Killing of George Floyd made us look at a reality that was always there, whether we didn't see it or we didn't want to see it. Tim Walz, that's a governor of Minnesota at the time, asserts. Here's what politicians and the media don't want you to see. The arrest of George Floyd. Aliases of George Floyd. Floyd George. Floyd George Lee. Floyd George Perry. Cadet Omar. A list of his arrest record. It's extensive. All kinds of drug issues. Floyd was convicted of aggravated battery in 1998. Also of theft. The same year, 2001, failure to identify to a police officer, 2002, possession of cocaine, 2002, criminal trespass, 2004, delivery of cocaine, 2005, possession of cocaine with intent to deliver, 2008, aggravated robbery with a firearm. 2019, narcotics violation. And here we have him in the store, video. May 25th, 2020, a store clerk calls 911 to report a man who attempts to pay with fake bills. The clerk said the man is awfully drunk and he's not in control of himself. And this is a big guy, George Floyd. Here's the arrest. Officer Thomas Lane. Body worn camera video going into the store. In response to the
I'm not getting the sound, sir. The sound or the the images. So
Danny,
you might be able to see it on your screen, but it's not coming across.
I got it, Danny. Stand by.
Sorry. The driver in there?
Who is?
Which one?
Okay. Over there.
Which one?
Yep. Just head back in.
So he tells him where Floyd is across the street, and the officer is proceeding. This is Officer Alec Kuhn, again with body-worn camera video. Officer Lane says they're moving around a lot. Walking over to the vehicle. Knocking on the window.
You see your hands?
Hey, man.
Stay in the car. Let me see all their hands.
I'm sorry.
Let me see all their hands.
Please,
both hands.
Do nothing.
Put your fucking hands up right now. Let me see your other hand.
Right. What I do though? What do you do?
Put your hand up there. Put your fucking hand up there. Jesus Christ. Keep your fucking hands on the wheel. Keep your fucking hands on the wheel.
Yes, sir. I'm sorry.
Who else is in the car?
This is my friend.
George Floyd, friend Morris Hall is sitting in the front. Another friend, Shawanda Hill, is sitting in the back.
God dang, man. I got shot the same way as I was before.
Okay, well, when I say let me see your hands, you put your fucking hands up.
I'm
so sorry, brother. You got
them? Man, dang, man.
Put your hands on top of your head.
Last time I got shot like that,
hands on top of your head. Hands on top of your head. Step out of the vehicle and step away from me, all right? Step out and face away. Step out and face away.
Okay, brother, please don't shoot me. Please, man.
I'm not going to shoot you. Step out and face away.
I'm going to get out of here, man. Please don't shoot me, man.
Don't shoot me, man.
I just lost my mom, man.
Mr. Floyd's mother passed away on May 30th, 2018, nearly 2 years before.
Step out and face away.
I'm so sorry.
Step out and face away.
Please don't shoot me, Mr. Officer. Please. Don't shoot me, man.
Step out and face away.
Can you not shoot me, man?
I'm not shooting you. Step out and face away.
Okay, okay. Please, man.
Officer Lane tells Mr. Floyd to step out 8 times. Mr. Floyd continues to ignore police commands.
I didn't know, man. I didn't know.
Shawanda Hill yells, "Stop resisting, Floyd." Officer Alex Kuhn again, body worn camera video.
I can do nothing. Face in the door.
Hey, you come back. Stay in the car.
Morris Hall and Shawanda Hill attempt to walk away.
Stop resisting, man.
Officer Kung also tells Mr. Floyd to stop resisting.
Yes, you are. Stand up.
Please, man.
Stand up for me. Stand up.
Mr. Floyd says, "I don't want to go back, man."
Come on, walk with me. Walk with me. Walk with me. Stand up.
Why you doing me like this?
Stand up. Come on. We're trying to get out of the.
Here's surveillance video where you see the whole car and the officers in the sidewalk.
Take a seat. Sit down for me.
Thank you, man. Thank you, Mazzola.
Sit down.
Thank you, man.
Another cop car pulls up.
Sit all the way down.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I will. Please, man. Please, man.
You got an ID on you?
I got one of them.
All right, what's your name?
George.
George?
George Perry Floyd. I don't know what's going on. Man, that's it.
Spell it for me.
G-E-O.
Yep.
R-G-E.
Last name?
Floyd. Hello, man. F-L-O-Y-D.
F-L-O-Y-D?
Yes.
Date of birth?
And last time I got to. October 14th.
October 14th?
73. Man, I got shot last time.
Wait,
man.
Mr. Floyd again claims he got shot last time.
Do me a favor, just run.
No, man. That was a
George Floyd. Thank you.
I don't want no problem. I ain't even doing nothing.
Man, do you know why we're here?
Why?
We're here because it sounds like you gave a fake bill to the individuals in there.
Yeah.
You understand that?
Yes.
And you know why we pulled you out of the car? Because you was not listening to anything we told you.
Right, I don't know what's going on.
You listen to us and we will tell you what's going on, all right? When you're moving around like that, that makes us think way more is going on than we need to know.
Right. And that's all I have.
Gotcha, all right. We're going to put you in the back of a squad, all right?
Can I talk to you?
We're going to sort all this out, all right?
See, man.
Is that your car key?
It's my sister's.
Key fob right there?
Yes, sir. I got one problem.
Yeah, I'm going to hold on to that for you, all right? Stand up.
Please, man. All right.
When asked if he is on anything, Mr. Floyd replied, "No, nothing." Officer Kuhn finds a marijuana pipe in Mr. Floyd's pocket.
Anything sharp on you?
I won't do the words.
Do you have anything sharp on you?
Sir.
Not even like a comb or nothing?
Why do you have to do me like that? I'm not going to see you crack it from yourself, man.
Stand up straight.
I'm claustrophobic for real, brother.
You got him?
Can you please crack it from me? Please.
Yes, I'll crack it.
Stay with me, man.
I will.
Please stay with me, man. Thank you. God, man. I didn't know all this was going to happen, man. Please, man. I just want my hands free.
Mr. Floyd says, I just want my hands free.
I don't want to do nothing
now, man.
Nothing.
All right, you got that inside?
And I understand. I'm listening. And I understand that people do stuff. It's y'all don't know me.
Take a seat.
Why are you having trouble walking? Because my hands are
hurt.
Down. Please, man. Please don't do
that. Take a seat.
I'm going in.
I'm going.
No, you're not. I gotta go in.
Take a seat.
Grab a seat. I don't believe
you. Placing him in the back seat of the police car.
Take a seat.
He's resisting.
You need to take a seat right now.
And I just had COVID, man. I don't want to go back to that.
Mr. Floyd said, I just had COVID.
Take a seat.
I'll roll
the windows
down.
Hey, listen.
Dang, man.
Listen.
I'm not that kind of guy.
I'll roll the windows down.
Please,
and put the legs in, all right? I'll put the air on.
God, look at that.
You're not even listening.
Look at it.
We can fix it, but not while you're standing
up. Okay, man. God, y'all do me bad, man.
Man,
I don't want y'all to win. I don't want to win. I'm claustrophobic.
You ain't going
to
win.
I'm claustrophobic. I got anxiety. I don't want to do nothing to them.
Mr. Floyd says, I got anxiety. I don't want to do nothing to them. Here's Officer Tao Thao. Officer Tao Thao and Derek Shelvin arrive at the scene.
You made a mistake.
Officer Alex Kuhn and body cam. Mr. Floyd says, when I start breathing, it's going to go off on me. Officer Tao Tao body cam.
Don't get in the car. Who knows it?
Don't do me like that, man.
Okay, can I talk to you, please?
This is your game. I'm this car. We can talk.
I am a doctor. I'm claustrophobic. I'm not
going to be out working with me.
God, I'm claustrophobic, man.
You ain't already know wherever you are.
Please, in the car. Can you get me in the front?
Please. No, you're not
getting
in the car.
I'm not the police.
I'm in the car.
Okay, man. Okay. I'm not a bad guy, man.
Get in the car.
I'm not a bad guy.
Still resisting. Finally, push him into the back of the squad car.
Please, take a seat. Please, man. Please. No, I'll
take a seat.
I can't joke.
I can't breathe.
Already saying I can't breathe. Mr. Boyd says I can't choke. Mr. Boyd says I can't choke. I can't breathe. Mr. Boyd says I can't choke. I can't breathe. While in the back of the squad car, no one is kneeling on his neck.
My wrist.
Is Officer Thomas Lane body cam? Officer Alex Coonan body cam.
I'm going down.
Get in the squad.
I'm not going to leave.
A bystander tells Mr. Floyd, you're going to die of a heart attack, man. Get in the car. Mr. Floyd says again, I just had COVID. I can't breathe. And he's in the back of the squad car, but trying to get out. Once again, no one is kneeling on his neck.
Please, man.
Please. Does he want to jail him? He's under arrest right now for forgery.
I'll tell you.
Officer Gunnick said he's under arrest right now for forgery. Mr. Floyd, who is black, was arrested by Officer Koenig, who is black.
What's going on?
Let's
take him out.
Officer Tao footage.
I can't fucking breathe. Come on out.
Give me 2 seconds. Lay on the ground.
Mr. Floyd kicks Officer Lane, and he's now lying on the ground beside the squad car on the street side.
Restraint.
The officers were using the maximal restraint technique, MRT. It may involve a hobble restraint device, according to Policy 5316, as approved by the Minneapolis Police Department. Officer Thomas Lane, body cam.
Jesus.
Thank you.
Despite being handcuffed, Mr. Floyd continues to physically resist, kicking Officer Lane again. Stand by. We'll return right after this break. We'll be right back.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
If you think for 1 second that the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourselves. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. But time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Not giving up. Revolution Radio.
It is no secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda. Countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths, and because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised. Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why The Story Behind the Story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Now they have George Floyd down on the ground beside the tire. He's still protesting. We're going to finish this sequence, and then we're going to turn to Danny Suris to tell us whether or not what we're seeing is what we should believe. Here it comes.
One of the front couches. Warm up.
On my right side back.
Warm up. Warm up. Warm
up. Officer Lane calls for an EMS ambulance. 36 seconds after Mr. Floyd was on the ground.
All right. Oh, my God. I can't breathe.
No, she's saying, I can't breathe. I can't breathe, even though no kneeling.
You got a
In 2020, George Floyd says, I got shot last time.
Man, I got shot last time. Wait, man.
And you would have been the last officer to arrest George Floyd. Did you shoot him?
No, I didn't shoot him. No.
Well, this goes back to the earlier arrest. It's a fascinating stuff. We got a lot of good stuff here.
Exactly what I did.
But we're going to switch over to Danny Suris. I think Danny has so much to share with us. Danny, can you see the slides?
No, currently, sir, when you went on the first break, when you were reading the news on your browser, computer, that's what I see on the screen. It's still like melted and stuff.
Okay, Danny, listen, why don't you drop off and come back in. Let me see if I can bring you back in, my friend, so you can see what we have here. Go ahead and drop off. Meanwhile, Danny and I are going to go through Yeah, there we go. He's dropped off, so he's going to come back in. Then Danny and I are going to go through a set of slides. He's got a couple of dozen here. He's going to point out a vast number of anomalies. Some of you, obviously, you can't see the slides any more than you could see. Here comes Danny. Okay, Danny, you can see me, right? Danny.
Okay, I'm back, sir.
Okay, good. You can see me, right?
Yes.
All right. Now, let me see if you can see the slides. Can you see that?
There we go. Now we're back in action.
Very good. The slide, first slide, the fall of Minneapolis. Now, Danny, I know you've done a real thorough job of this. And, of course, there's much more in this video, which is available for free online. So, where shall we begin? With the image of Officer Chauvin? Tell us. Go for it.
I'd like to, if I could, sir, I'd like to give a depiction of the start of the traffic stop, if I could. Would
yes,
that be all right? If we
of course. The 100%.
Okay, so what happens is we see the officer walk up to the Mercedes van, or the Mercedes SUV that's not registered to him, which is really interesting. But he walks up to him, and he has his gun pulled, and he's pointing it at him. And, of course, you know, George, this character playing George Floyd, is overreacting. He's not following any commands whatsoever. You know, just right away with the I ain't done nothing standard procedure, you know, from a felon. Now, this is a guy supposedly that's been arrested multiple times. So he has an extensive criminal background. And he's very familiar with interaction with the police. So this is not new to him, you know, and he's also been placed in handcuffs multiple times in his life. So, again, this is not anything new. And he's avoiding all of the commands, you know, and then when they finally get him out of the car and put cuffs on him, he's yelling out, please don't shoot me. He starts whining like a girl, which I think is really interesting. I don't understand that tactic. And, you know, to me, it's just a bunch of overacting from an actor. There's no firearms involved. He reholstered his weapon. Nobody has guns out whatsoever. And he says it two or three times. Please don't shoot me. There's no guns involved. He's already cuffed. They're putting him on the ground. He just keeps saying it over and over again. He's blabbing. It's just, it's really, I don't know, maybe he doesn't really have lines. He can't think of anything else to say. So he's just throwing that out there. They finally get him up and they walk him over to the car or to the police cruiser, the SUV. And, you know, he's under arrest. He's told he's under arrest. OK, and everybody should know as a citizen, when an officer arrests you, that's it. OK, you have to go wherever he says to go. He's got you in handcuffs. He's obviously going to take you to jail. He tells him at one point you're going to jail. OK, and, you know, you got to go for a ride in the car. That's it. You're not going to walk to the police department. OK. Everyone knows that. You got to get in the back of the car. So they tell him multiple times to get in the car. Then this wrestling match starts where his legs go out from underneath him, which is very strange. One of the videos that we covered in the beginning, then the video cuts off. The surveillance video is edited right there, and it cuts off. So we can't see what happens after that. I think that's very interesting that the surveillance video got cut off right at that moment. Next thing you know, we see him wrestling. You know, through the car, trying to get him in the car. He's making up every excuse that he can possibly make up on why he can't go to jail, you know, from he's claustrophobic to I had COVID. What does any of that have to do with anything about getting in the back of the police car? You just, you know, you were obviously just sitting in a vehicle. They pulled you out of the vehicle. Now you're just going to be sitting in the back of another vehicle. You know, just do what you're told. But no, he's not doing that. He's putting up a fuss. And then, you know, a big fight starts, you know, and normally what the police would do at this point, sir, I want to point out is they have a device called a hobble. It's a strap that goes around your legs and ties your legs together. And there's another strap that can come up around your hands as well. And it keeps the suspect from kicking you. OK, it's for the officer's safety, for everybody's safety. OK, and then they'll just pick the guy up and throw him in the back of the car. And I don't understand. I never seen him trying to apply a hobble. I just seen this, you know, twitching and arguing around and shoving. The other thing I don't understand is if you get a suspect that's that tall and that's big and he's having a trouble like that, the other thing you could do is you could put him on the curb and call for a transport. You know, some people call it a paddy wagon. It just depends on what you want to call it. And the transport will show up, and it's a, you know, it's usually a big truck with a cage on the back, and you put the person in there, and you'll stop struggling, just let them transport. And they float around, especially in the bigger departments. They usually have multiple of these, and yet we never see a call for anything like that. So there's a lot of hokey stuff, sir, that goes on around up to the struggle when they're on the ground. And I think that's kind of where we left off. And then the film goes into, you know, other aspects, and it gets away from the George Floyd arrest. But one of the things we want to point out today is all the photos that I'd like to point out that they provided. Okay. This isn't stuff that we went and dug up. We're just simply analyzing all of the different aspects that they put out to the public that they want us to believe. And we're going to show all the anomalies and the different things in many of these photos today that are just a complete farce, and show that this thing is a complete, you know, made up fakery. Okay. And that's kind of where we're at.
Danny, just to summarize, this appears to involve acting. George Floyd was obviously in on it. He actually has a background as a porn actor, of all things. He's a known drug dealer. He seemed to be overacting. I agree, all the whimpering and simpering is pathetic. This is a big guy acting like he's a baby. What is he, 6'5", 6'4"? I mean, he's a big, big guy. And you have him, all the struggling. He's talking about not breathing in the back of the seat before he's on the ground. And, of course, not being able to breathe is one symptom of a drug overdose. In other words, there's so many phony aspects to this, Danny. I believe we will not be able to cover only a fraction of them here. It is outrageous. Watching this video, it's clear to me the mayor who directed that Precinct 3 be abandoned was clearly in on it. The governor was in on it. This is just disgusting to me because it precipitated this summer of rioting and looting and arson where the Democrats described it as mostly peaceful and where, to my knowledge, virtually no one was arrested for any of the gross offenses that were taking place, destroying one business after another. Danny, am I right?
Well, you're 100%, sir. I mean, we're going to cover some of those aspects, but this thing about I can't breathe, I want to touch on that, okay? This started really a while back, even before this happened. And I don't know, especially in the black community, it seems like it's some sort of a thing that they're doing. I almost feel like they put on a class for these felons on to say, I can't breathe. I see it all the time in different agencies all around the country that when somebody gets arrested, they don't want to be arrested. They've been arrested multiple times. They're used to being locked up. They're criminals. Okay. They come in contact with the police all the time because they're always breaking the law. In one way or another, that's just part of their daily routine. Okay. And he knows he's going to jail, this particular actor. I mean, he knows he's going to jail. And this thing about I don't breathe, it's almost like a code. Like they think when they say that, that the officer is going to say, oh, excuse me, kind felon. I'm sorry. Let me take the handcuffs off and we'll just forget about this whole thing. And you go back, you know, you go down the street and be on your way. I don't really understand what they think they're accomplishing by constantly saying, I can't breathe, while resisting the police and resisting the arrest, you know, resisting being placed in handcuffs or being resisting getting into the vehicle. I don't understand where they're getting this from or where this culture's coming up with it. The other phrase is, I ain't done nothing. You know what? Simply when you're approached by the police and saying, when you're a criminal, by saying, I ain't done nothing, that's not a defense, okay? That's not, the police aren't going to say, oh, okay, you haven't done anything. I'm sorry, sir. Why am I even here to talk to you? And then they turn around and walk away. It's the most comical thing in the world that they say, I ain't done nothing. And then once you're under arrest, I can't breathe. I've even seen suspects, sir, recently that they start saying, I can't breathe before the handcuffs even go on. It's like it's too early. They say nothing's even happened yet. And they say that I can't breathe. They just think for some reason that the police are going to be so afraid of that phrase and getting sued that they're just going to walk away and just forget the whole thing and let the person just go about his business down the street. So the fact that he's over saying that and saying I can't breathe, one of the reasons maybe why he can't breathe is because he's handcuffed. He's fighting with the police. He's kicking and he's laying on his chest in the back of the car. He's creating all this himself. There's no pressure from the police. They're not shoving on him or sitting on his back at that time. They're not doing anything. So I want people to really think about that. What is causing this? I can't breathe when they're really not even touching him. The only thing is that he's handcuffed and he's going to jail, sir. It's just absolutely comical. It's a bad acting. It's just the whole thing is starting off. We're on the wrong foot, sir.
I think you're nailing it exactly. And there's so many phony aspects to all of this. The first slide you have up is Derek Chauvin, a mugshot. You want to begin there?
Yeah, sure. I mean, we can go over this. If you look at this photo, and there's some other ones that you can roll through, but, you know, this is the mugshot that was presented by the mainstream media. That's what I want to post, okay? This isn't something that we dug up secretly or anything like that. This was posted on the mainstream media around the country, was on multiple mainstream media television, CNN, to mention one of them. There's a whole bunch of posts of them where they posted this photo, okay? And when you look at this photo, this photo looks nothing. I mean, absolutely not even related, nothing. Like the Derek Chauvin officer that they portrayed in the video arresting George Floyd.
Yes.
It's like a bad actor, sir. Right there is a good one, if you can leave it there. If you look at that photo that you just posted just now, I see it popped off. But if you look at it, the nose is a completely different shape. Okay, it's completely different. The Derek Chauvin that is in the video, in the George Floyd video, has like a ski slope in his nose. It comes down. It's got a slope. The nose is completely different. It's not even close. The lips are a different size. If you look at his lips, they're not even the same. The shape of his mouth and the lips. And, you know, a lot of people know, including you, sir, that an ear is like almost like a fingerprint. The cartilage is very unique per person. And you can tell a lot by looking at somebody's ear, okay? And this ear on him is completely different. It's not even the same size. It's not the same shape. The officer that we see on the video has like a flatness to one of the cartilages in the back. It's, I mean, even a child can look at that and say, that is not the same. I have family members that are in the medical space that I've showed these photos to. They said, that's not the same person. It's not even close. So they want us to actually think that the guy in the video somehow got arrested. Derek Chauvin is his name. That's what they're calling him. Got arrested, went to jail, had plastic surgery, sir, changed the shape of his head, changed his ear pattern, changed the shape of his nose, and completely changed his mouth and had surgery and changed his ears. It's so radically off, sir. I guess the actor that they're using didn't want to play the part anymore after that video. He did his part. He went on to his life. Maybe they couldn't get a hold of him. I don't know what happened, but they had to come up with some other facsimile and call him Derek Chauvin. And this is just one of the worst ones I've ever seen, sir, for a body double. It's not even close. And I really want that to sink in with other people. Think about it. Why would they use a completely different person than the officer that we see in the film? Anybody with half a brain cell, sir, can look at those photos and see that that is not the same person. And the answer is, obviously, sir, they're pulling a con. Again, it's an op. They're pulling a con over over the eyes of the American people, and they're hoping that people will just come home, watch 5 minutes of news, accept what they see, and move on, and nobody will actually look at that. But then again, you got guys, PhDs like yourself, come along and break this down and say, hey, wait a minute here. That's not the same guy. What's going on here? And that's what starts to bring all the controversy to the event, sir, is all the anomalies. And this is one of the big ones starting off.
Very nice. And, of course, you had this absurd stuff with members, Democrats, kneeling with these African decorations. Danny, I mean, this is just so comical. I mean, it's theatrical. I mean, it's ridiculous. It's so staged.
Yeah, they're just, you know, the Democrats were trying to ride the wave by doing this knee thing. And, this knee thing really was annoying. I mean, it just was a slap in the face to police officers, firefighters and military around the country. You know, it all started with the football player. I didn't want to mention his name because I can't stand him when he started this. And then you saw these sports teams that started doing this knee after, black people being shot by the police. That was the mantra when that started. Okay. And every one of them, sure, they were being shot. Of course they were being shot. But you know what? They were committing violent felonies. Okay. Most of them had guns on them or knives. They were in the middle of committing a violent felony, and they weren't complying with the police when they were being arrested. And they're actually putting a knee down and telling everybody, oh, you know, don't you feel sorry for all these black people being shot while they're committing in the middle of committing a violent felony? It just disgusted me, sir, to such a point that when I started to see this on television, especially in pro sports, I turned it off and that was it. I turned it off. I never wanted to see it again. And of course, I would see some highlights once in a while on the news or whatever. But, I mean, it's just really comical, this whole knee thing. And then the Democrats come along and they put their knee down like that in place of this. This is an op, sir. This is a coordinated op that we're going to go ahead and tie all together when we're done. But it's an op that they pre-planned like a soap opera, like a television show. And it's bad acting, and the Democrats were just going along with it in that photo.
And Danny, this Andrea Jenkins, very strange. The Minneapolis City Council Vice President. This looks like someone out of a horror film.
If you look at that, sir, I sent you a paragraph on that too, on a subsequent email. But we're kind of out of order, but that's okay. I'll just go on with these pictures. At one point in the video, sir, the media talks about, or the fake media in the film that you asked me to analyze, talks about the $27 million, okay, a very substantial amount of money that was going to be given to George Floyd's family after he supposedly had been, killed off. $27 million. And then they have a spokesman come on for the city council of Minneapolis to talk about it, okay? Well, out of all the people that work for the city that they could have brought on, right, the city attorney, they could have brought on, that would be in charge, or he would be in there explaining the money and how that, he would be involved. There'd be a lot of other persons involved. They end up bringing this freaky person on the film. And when I looked at that, I paused it and I said, you know what? That is not a woman. It's just Andrea. And I'm like, what the heck is that? It looks like a space alien from an Arnold Schwarzenegger movie, Terminator. Or what's that? It's not Terminator. I think I forgot the name of the movie.
Oh, maybe Total Recall, whatever.
The guy is freaky looking with the hair, yeah, shaved back, and he looks like he's got an earmuff on one side of his head. I don't know what's going on. His speech pattern is very strange in the film. And I thought to myself, that is a man. That is not a woman. This is getting more comical by the minute. And it's like they're rubbing the transgender thing in your face by putting this particular person, we'll just call him a person,
yes,
and it's not a woman.
Yes.
On the video, sir, it's comical. And when I did some research on this, I looked it up. This Andrea, they're touting as the first black transgender to hold any kind of an office. So they put this person forward to explain
God.
The $27 million going to George Floyd's family.
Here we have some of the bystanders, Danny. You want to speak?
Yeah, those bystanders, sir, when we first looked into this, they wouldn't give any of their names. And, of course, each one of them kind of played a pivotal witness role to this whole event. And the only one that they would give a name to is the chubby girl right there with the short hair. She has the little bandana around her hair. I don't know if you can show that up close. But she's, just to describe her, I don't know, she looks like she's probably in her 30s or early 30s. She's kind of heavy set. She's approaching, probably 180 pounds or so for her, maybe even 200 pounds, but she's pretty heavy set. So her cheeks are kind of chubby. And she's in this film, she's when they're making the arrest, and she's holding her camera right on top of them with these other bystanders on the thing. And she's shouting at the police all kinds of different things. Yeah. She's shouting at them about arresting. And that's very strange behavior. As a professional firefighter, if she was really
that's right. I wanted to add, Danny. She claims to be a professional firefighter.
Right. She does, sir. And that's what I'm going to get to that. She claims, I work for the fire department. Okay. Well, if that were really true, sir, her behavior would not have been like it was. Okay. The things that she was spouting out was like that of a street person. Okay. It wasn't anybody that was professional, that has a badge, worked for the city in any kind of a way. Okay. She would have totally acted different. Her whole demeanor on the whole thing, she would have said, oh, the police are making arrests. Those are her brothers doing that, okay? She's a fireman. She's used to working with the police. But she's like standing there shouting out all kinds of nonsense at the police, trying to give them direction and insisting that she's a fireman working for the city. Well, she sort of disappeared, but that was the only name in the media that they put out was that witness. Out of all the other witnesses that were on the sidewalk that day, all of them disappeared into thin air. I'd like to point that out, sir. They all disappeared into thin air, and we've never seen any of them after that filming of the day when they made the arrest ever in court. None of them showed up except for the heavyset girl. Now, I'd like to everybody to think about that. Why weren't all the witnesses in the court trial? All of them should have been there and described what they were seeing, but none of them were. They all disappeared except for that one that said she was a firefighter. And you can see her on the stand, to jump forward, on the witness stand. And they're asking her different questions about dispatch and how the fire department works and how radio calls work when they come in and different things like that. And she's saying right on the film, I don't have the answer to that. I don't know how that works. I don't understand that. Things like that. I'm paraphrasing, okay? Well, if she was really a firefighter, sir, she would know all those questions hands down. She would be familiar with all of the procedures that they're asking her. She would know them verbatim because that's part of her daily routine in her job.
So we got a fake firefighter as a fake witness for a fake event, Danny. How many times can we be fooled?
Well, what I wanted to point out, and I'm getting to, sir, is they did put out a name in the press. They did put out a name, that one name of her being a fireman. And, of course, you know how I am. I dug into it, okay? And I said, okay, she's going to be easy to find on a roster. It's not hard to look up firemen. They all have a firefighter credential, okay, just like a policeman does, just like a realtor does, just like a doctor does, just like a dentist has. You can look these people up. They're public figures.
Danny.
But guess what?
Danny. Stand by. We're taking a break, and we'll be right back with Danny Sirris. We're doing a critique of the fall of Minneapolis.
Take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job? That Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons in the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, Danny, I'm sure it was unintentional, but they caught a gas price across the street. That shows the whole thing is a fraud, that it was done in different takes at different times. Comment.
Well, sir, you know, we're going to tie it all together at the end. But what you're showing right now, and for our listeners, I'm going to describe, there's a Speedway gas station across the street from the event when they're arresting this character on the street and they're arguing with him on the street. And several times the camera pans over and catches a gas station, you know, and they're quite popular on the East Coast, these particular gas stations. And we see the sign very clearly, and the sign has the price of gasoline and it has the price of diesel. And you can see in the green letters there, it says diesel is 99 cents a gallon. Now, sir, diesel hasn't been 99 cents a gallon since I believe the 2000s, maybe early 2000s. 97, 98, in those years, it might have been right around there, might have been around a dollar a gallon at that point for a short period of time. But it certainly is not 99 cents. They don't make these kind of mistakes, sir. And I'd like to point out this is a signal. This is a clear signal that the people in charge of running this off and doing the film, it's a code, sir. And 99 upside down is 66. 66 divided by 2 is 33, and we all know that's their number. And it appears in every single one of these ops, whether it's a false flag shooting, I don't care where it is, you can always find it somewhere in the background. You can look for the 66 and the 33. And this is just another event, sir, where they're putting it right in your face for anybody watching this. They'll see the number, and they know that this is a controlled operation, that this is a fake. It's a fraud operation, and it's to let everybody know that's in the know that this is a fake controlled operation. It's not real. It couldn't be more clear, sir, staring you right in the face in that photograph.
And here we have
there you go, Derek Chauvin. Go ahead, sir.
No, I was just going to say, here's the officer on the scene who's different than the officer put on trial.
It's totally different. Again, this is the actor that played the part in the video. And I'd like to point out again, his eyes are completely different. One of his eyes has a droop in it. His nose is completely different. His ears and his mouth, his beard pattern and his hair pattern. This particular person has some male pattern baldness on top of his head. Nothing wrong with that. But I'm just saying he does. And the one that they showed in the mugshot does not. Completely different beard pattern, but his eyes are different. Completely different. And the other thing I'd like to point out that we'll probably get to is his badge, sir. His badge is on crooked, okay? It's tilted to the side. It's not straight up and down. And really, when you understand that, and this is important, sir, because this is one of those details that shows that this is a fake operation. So that's why it's like, okay, he put his badge on crooked that day. No. That does not happen. On your shirt, on your lapel, you have a little thing that's sewn on there, and it's put on from the factory with a machine. And there's two holes in it, one on the top and one on the bottom. Your badge goes through the top hole and into the bottom hole that's already sewn in there. It's got little stitching around the hole so it doesn't fray. And then your badge snaps together. And it sits nice and perfectly parallel with your shirt each and every time. There's no way to put it on crooked. Okay, it's not possible, all right? When's the last time you've seen an officer, sheriff, deputy, whatever, on the street with his badge to the side crooked? It does not happen, sir. They don't pin it on their shirt. They put it on this little thing that's already sewn on there. It's a tab that's sewn on the shirt. And his badge is tilting to the side, sir. It's completely off kilter. And it's a fake uniform, sir. It's some kind of a Hollywood uniform that was just thrown together for this op. And it's not a real uniform, sir. And that's just one more huge anomaly to show this is a group of actors, sir, trying to pull this blunder off. This is not a real event. It's like Miami CSI. It's a group of actors on a closed set that day that got together to shoot this in different takes. And this is another anomaly right here, sir.
And Danny, who is this dandy, this fellow who... I have no idea his role as sheriff.
Yeah, what's really interesting, sir, is that's the only picture I could come up with of the real George Floyd that died.
Oh, that's the real George Floyd? That's the real George Floyd?
That's the real George Floyd in Texas that died, okay? And he gets no attention, but that's the one that died. And his lawyer came out and said, wait a minute, that's not the real George Floyd. The real George Floyd is dead.
Yes.
And they were putting this character on the news.
Yes.
Showing us the porn star that we don't even know. I'd like to really point this out, sir. We don't really know the name, the real name of the actor in the video that played the George Floyd part.
Right.
We don't know his name. Okay.
Yeah.
But what we do know is that person is a porn star, and we're going to show that in a minute.
Yeah.
We're going to show a clip. We're going to show a clip, okay, or a photograph from his movie. He's a known porn star, and in the porn movies, he uses the name George Big Boy Floyd, and he's known for that. I'm not going to give out the website. I'm not going to get into that. If people can want to do their own research, they can find it, but it's under George Big Boy Floyd. And that's the name he uses as a porn star. So he's not using his real name, George Floyd. But that picture right there is the real, that's the only photo I could find of the real George Floyd that was dead before this operation happened.
He's quite the dappy dresser, wasn't he? I mean, look at that, with that handkerchief and the whole bit and the bow tie.
Interesting guy for a felon that's done a couple of prison stints.
Yeah,
for sure.
I agree. Very strange
person, as far as height, stature, everything completely different than the actor that they put forward in the operation. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, he looks much more normal in size. Here we got comparison.
Go ahead, sir.
May 25th, 2020, Minneapolis. May 28th, 2020, Paris. May 30th, 2020, Madrid. Tell us. Danny.
Yep, I'm here. Go ahead, sir.
These are three cases of arrest. Yeah.
Okay. What we're looking at right now is we're looking at three different dates, and we're looking at police in three different countries applying that MRT, maximum restraint technique, they call it, where they put their knee on the back of the shoulder by the neck to control a suspect. And we can see that they're pulling the George, this is really important, sir, they're pulling the George Floyd operation of pinning the black man to the ground, making it appear like he's choking. They're doing this in three different countries, sir. So this is not, we're not the only country that they pulled this George Floyd nonsense where the police are making this type of arrest. Okay, they've done it in other countries. This is not new, okay? They're just, we see the George Floyd in the United States, but the media is not showing the one in Paris, and they're not showing the one in Madrid. But they tried the same nonsense in other countries. It's the same playbook once they write the scripts, or they're just trying it in other countries. I'd like everyone to really understand this is complete nonsense. It's bull. It's a complete fabrication that they do over and over again, and there's two examples of them doing it right there.
And then on the left, Annie, another tell, the license plate says police.
Yeah, that's comical, sir. None of the police cars, okay, none of the police cars have a personalized license plate that say police on them. Okay, they don't do that. It says it has a little insignia on there that usually will say U.S. government or county government sometimes I've seen. But and it'll have an identifying number for the police car or whatever the equipment is that they're using. But none of them just say police on there. It's comical, sir, to think that all the police cars driving around, and I'd like to challenge anybody with any sheriff deputy's car or police agency, you know, in your jurisdiction, wherever you live in the United States, when's the last time you saw police cars all driving around with the same license plate that say police on it? Okay, that is another tail sign, sir, to show that this is an operation with actors. They grabbed a car, they just threw the plate on there that says police, and they think everybody will believe it, sir. It's kind of rushed in the detail. You'd think that they would at least hire somebody that was like former police, had some experience to critique this when they did it on the day. And the guy would say, hey, wait a minute, man, you're making mistakes. It doesn't work like that. Let's do this again. You know, somebody like that. But obviously there was nobody around that was actually involved in law enforcement when they made this, sir. So they made mistake after mistake after mistake. You know, the gas station thing, the badges on crooked, which would never happen. And then we got another big one coming up. And this one's really funny, showing the three different events in the different countries. There's a really good picture right there that you're posting of the side-by-side of the face and the side image of the Derek Chauvin actor that we see on the video and the one that the media showed. I like to point that out. The media posted all over the networks, all over the nation, of the Derek Chauvin that got arrested with his mugshot. You can clearly see the hairline is different, the nose is different, the mouth is different. I mean, they're trying to suggest, well, maybe Derek Chauvin had plastic surgery.
Not a chance. I mean, that's just idiotic, Danny.
And maybe his hair grew, so he used some kind of hair tonic, and his male pattern baldness disappeared, and that's why his beard and his hair grew in. Right. And he has no baldness problem. And the cartilage on his ear completely changed. The shape of his nose changed. The mouth, the jawline changed. I mean, sir, this is really almost, I would say it's over the top comical that they can only find. They couldn't use the real guy from the film. So for some reason, this is the best they can do. And anybody in the know, sir, with half a brain that can look at photos and analyze them, especially as you are known for doing, must look at something like this and just sit back and just laugh at how outlandish this is that they're trying to pull this up.
And the caption, Danny, says, if this is fake, I wonder who will be in George Floyd's casket.
Absolutely, sir. Just over-the-top comical, if you want to keep. Now, there's one that you brought up the other day about the bricks. They started putting in these different cities where they were going to have the riots, we started seeing these pallets, heavy pallets with thousands of pounds of bricks that were laid out in all these protest areas, and especially in buildings they were going to destroy. And we saw them in multiple areas. I mean, I probably saw at least 15 to 20 different sites in different cities, in different states, where these bricks mysteriously showed up in the middle of a riot scene, and there's no construction taking place. Nothing going on. Just these bricks happen to show up and be dropped off at the exact point where the protesters could use them, pick them up, and start throwing them at police cars, breaking windows, and doing things like that. I mean, just anybody that sees this, sir, this is over the top, shows that this was an organized op by somebody some agency that had a lot of money, and this was pre-planned before it even started, and that's just another one to show how fake this was, sir, and how pre-planned and, you know, totally contrived. This whole thing was set up way ahead of time before it took place.
This is George Soros supporting mostly peaceful protests.
And there's a picture right there you're showing of the funeral, okay? And I'd like to point this out. There's hardly anybody there. And one of the girls that's helping with the funeral, I don't know what her role is, but you can see she's wearing a I can't breathe shirt. That was the mantra in the inner cities amongst the criminals, right? I can't breathe every time the police arrest me when I'm committing a violent felony, I'd like to point out, right? Somehow they were trying to create a mantra that the police aren't allowed to arrest violent felons when they're black and they're in the commission of committing a crime. Like it was supposed to be allowed. They were trying to create a narrative of acceptance that they do this, that it's totally normal to see a black person committing a violent felony in an inner city. And that every time the police arrest them, it's this whole thing of I can't breathe, we're too tough on them. Well, you know, the police are tough on you when they say the words you're under arrest. The Supreme Court has ruled on this so many times. When you're under arrest, you have to cooperate with the police. And everybody is a citizen of the United States should know that. But this whole I can't breathe thing, because you're being placed in handcuffs and arrest and you're resisting arrest, you're telling the police, oh, no, I'm not under arrest. I'm black. I'm not going to jail. You're not getting me in that police car. I'm not going to do anything you say. This whole mantra started right around this. Resist the police. You don't have to do anything that they say. You do the absolute opposite of whatever you can do. You fight with the police and maybe they'll let you go. And then you just start yelling out, I want a supervisor and I can't breathe. It's just over the top, sir. It was just a narrative that they created to throw some gasoline on the fire of this whole contrived, made up event.
And even from this angle, I can see that that corpse in the casket doesn't look remotely like the guy who was arrested.
Yeah, it's a fake corpse, sir. It's not real. And if you look at that closely, you can see the lower part of the body is missing. There's no legs. It's just an upper torso. It looks like a wax dummy to me. Well, you know, I've zoomed in on that multiple times. It doesn't even look real at all. It looks completely fake. Again, it doesn't look like a real body. And those are the only two photos that we were able to come up with of the whole funeral. The mainstream media didn't put those out, but they did get posted on some different sites during that whole process of them putting that funeral together. And so, when I saw that, I thought, that's the best you can do. That side angle where we can't see his legs or we can't see his face. Okay, and now what you're showing now is a very interesting photograph. When they came to go get George Floyd, or the actor, the porn actor, when he was on the ground and they called the ambulance crew showed up in a kind of a weird rig. But when they got out, sir, they were wearing police uniforms. Now, I don't see any firearms, but what I do see is safety equipment on them. And I see the heavy belt that police officers wear, known as a gun belt. It's a very heavy belt that you slide all your equipment on, and it goes on over another belt. And I see these guys wearing like a tan uniform. Okay, it's very important to point out, because they're also wearing, sir, level 3 body armor. So I'd like that to point that out. That is a level 3. It sure looks like level 3 body armor. And I've never seen a city that has their paramedics or their ambulance crew that wears level 3 body armor on the outside like that, wearing a uniform that looks like that, a police uniform. And, sir, that's just another anomaly again, that these were actors. They were fumbling and bumbling. They weren't professional. They weren't trying to provide CPR. You didn't see any. Usually when paramedics get out, the first thing they bring out is their life-saving devices, their breathing device, the defibrillator device. They usually have a bag with them, a big med bag with all of their tools and their medications and all their things. And the first thing you see them do is put that bag down next to the victim when they're going to start working on them. We never do see that. These guys have no equipment. The only thing we see is they're putting on some gloves. They do have some rubber gloves. But we see no equipment. It's the first medical crew I've ever seen that has no medical equipment. They have nothing but these uniforms, and they're wearing level 3 body armor, wearing police uniforms. Again, sir, this is very poorly choreographed, this whole video. It's comical. I think they wanted to do this to show certain people, like the 99-cent diesel that were in charge. But if anybody really thinks about it, it's just, it doesn't happen, sir. The medical crew does not wear level 3 body armor vests. They do not dress like that. They don't, that's not how their uniforms work. And they always have medical equipment with them. And again, I'd really like to point that out. There's no life-saving medical equipment in any of their hands to try and work on this porn actor. Not one single shred other than the rubber gloves. And here's another example of one of the officers that's, you know, I call this guy Mr. Standaround, and we're going to get to that photo. But if you look at this, the photo on the right, it shows the Derek Chauvin with his crooked badge. It shows that guy Tao with no badge. He has a completely different badge sewn on his shirt than the department uses. It doesn't even match the department's badge.
Great catch, Danny. Great catch. Good.
Yeah, it's not even the right size or shape. I tried to zoom in, it's blurry. I can't see what it says. You know, it might say dog pound. I don't know what it says. And if you look over at the fake Chauvin, you can see his badge is on at a 45-degree angle. It's not slightly off. I mean, it's completely off, like some child pinned it on his shirt. It's not in the right location. It's up a little bit too high. It's over closer to his chin, and his shirt is completely straight. You can see it buttoned up, and his badge is completely skewed at a 45-degree angle. That shows you, sir, that this is not a regulation police uniform. It doesn't have the loop sewn on by the factory with the stitching holes in it to drop your badge in. It's completely fabricated. This is a Hollywood uniform that somebody threw together. And then below that is a picture of the Boston bombing. And that is a report that you blew open multiple times about all the fakery that happened in the Boston bombing. And that's a whole other show and another can of worms. But what's interesting about that photo is it shows that the character that played Derek Chauvin, the officer, is also one of the characters in the Boston bombing. And you can see him there in black. It's the same guy. He's younger, but it's the same guy. And if you look below that, there's an image of him even younger at the Sandy Hook.
Oh, God, Danny. Wow.
So they keep using the same actors for these false flags over and over, because you got to understand, most people are 9-to-5ers. They're working, they drive their forklift during the day or whatever they're doing during the day. You know, they work at a big box store, or maybe they even work at Costco, whatever they're doing. And they're busy worrying about sports and their sports team. And they come home and they watch 5 or 10 minutes of footage on the news. They just accept what they see for a few seconds. And nobody ever does a deep analysis of what's really going on. But then, of course, somebody like you comes along with a PhD and you point out, hey, wait a minute. This is not the same guy. And by the way, why is this guy at the Boston bombing, right, as one of the guys that placed the explosive on the ground, and now he's running? And why is he also an officer at the Sandy Hook thing? Which guy really gets around?
Love it, Danny. Love it. Absolutely love it.
There's a good caption. You might want to read the caption.
White privilege. You get two knees. George Floyd only got one, but if you're white, you get two.
Right, and this is an image of the police using the MRT to control a suspect who happens to be white that they're arresting. He's obviously resisting arrest. They're not hurting him. They're just putting some pressure on him because he's resisting. And one of the reasons they do this, sir, they put the pressure like that, is because you are resisting being handcuffed. You've been told that you're under arrest, okay? Once you're told you're under arrest, sir, put your hands behind your back. It's very clear you must comply as a U.S. citizen. If you don't, you are resisting arrest. That is another charge. And as a citizen, you have to comply. You don't have a choice. Once you hear those words, you've been placed. I don't care if they want to put you in the police car. I don't care if the police car broke and the officer says, you know what, my handcuffs aren't working. Put your hands behind your back and wants to walk you to the police department. You have to comply. That is the law. If you don't like the law, then go to Congress and get them to change all the laws of power of arrest and what happens after you're arrested. But it's very clear what the rules are and how things work. And this is just another example of them arresting a white guy where they're, you know, using two knees on him to try and get him to comply to put the handcuffs on him, sir. Good picture.
Here's another. Cops loading Floyd. Any medic out there? Is it protocol for cops to put your patient on a stretcher and load into the ambulance?
Well, I'd like to point out, sir, that's an interesting caption, but the photo is more interesting here. And the reason why is the photo is interesting is because you can see the badges and the uniforms on the ambulance worker or the medical guy. He's wearing his level 3 bulletproof vest. You can see his police gear on his belt. And again, this is obviously staged. The people from Minneapolis, sir, I'd like to point out, don't even wear those kind of uniforms. So they didn't even give caution to actually figure out what uniforms is a standard uniform in Minneapolis that the medical crew wear. And that's not even their uniform. It's just some actors that they pulled out of thin air that day and put together, sir. There's the fireman on the corner. She said, you know, she testified that, you know, all these different things. And when they asked her all these procedural questions about different things, she couldn't answer any of the questions. And of course, she couldn't answer any of the questions in the show trial because she's really not a fireman, sir. I looked her up. She's not on any of the rosters. Her name, she doesn't even live in that area. The person with that name, completely fake. And
there she was in the earlier photograph, the second from the right, in the middle.
Complete fake and phony, sir. Not real whatsoever.
So, here are the four.
There's a picture of all four of them after supposedly they've been arrested, and they look a lot different. Even Tao looks like a different person. Looks like they switched him out. He's a little skinnier now. He's not the same person. And there's even a third Derek Chauvin.
Yes.
He doesn't look like the mugshot one. This is one that I think they plugged in at first, and then they switched him again.
Danny, I'd like you to come back for another half an hour on Friday if you can do that. I think we need to finish up. You have some more excellent slides. This is very, very powerful. Everyone out there, spend as much time as you can with your family, friends, people, love, and therapy.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio.
Recording stopped.
Join me and the Brian Ruse Show on Revolution Radio, Eastern Standard Time, every Tuesday night from 6 to 8. We talk about the four most vital things, in my view, affecting all of humanity. Number one is UFOs and aliens and their agenda for the advancement of humanity. Number two is the Jewish establishment's control over all aspects of human civilization. Number three, the truth about Adolf Hitler, how he was the opposite of what we've been told. Number four is advanced ancient global civilizations. Join me on the Brian Ruse Show, Tuesday nights from 6 to 8 on Studio B on Revolution Radio.
Industrial Complex podcast here on Revolution Radio, Studio B, every Wednesday, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Get fit, empowered, physically, mentally, and spiritually.
My name is Mr. Rowe. I am the host of Reality Extraction on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com
I utilize logic, intellect, and magic to methodically autonomize, vivisect, analyze, examine, study, scrutinize, and extract an essence of reality from a fog of illusion and confusion.